Hello to everybody this afternoon. Thank you for joining me for today's daily COVID update. I'm joined today by Secretary Nate Smith, Secretary of Health. I also have Secretary Nate Todd of the Department of Veterans Affairs and Secretary Stacy Hurst of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism that will each make comments today. First, let me address some economic news. As has been reported, the April last month's national unemployment rate has been reported at 14.7%. Arkansas is 4.5% less than the national unemployment rate. We're at 10.2%. Now, that's not saying I'm happy with a 10.2% unemployment rate, but it is put it in perspective as to where we are in relation to the nation and how so many have become unemployed across our country, and it shows that we have work to do here in Arkansas. I also would point out that this is April, and in May we started lifting some of the restrictions and people going back to work, so I'm hopeful that May's numbers will be better than that. We will wait and see. It does show that we have 102,000 Arkansans that are unemployed now versus 2 months ago. And that shows the need to get relief to them and that businesses need to be hiring again, and we want to be able to encourage that. And that brings me to two of our financial assistance programs. One is the Ready for Business Grants. As of noon today, 8,198 have been approved of the Ready for Business Grants that goes to our small business owners across Arkansas to help them as they restart and reengage in business and expand. This grant money will be sent out today and over the weekend. In terms of the pandemic unemployment assistance for the self-employed, the gig economy workers, the website that last week had some challenges in terms of security. The system is secure in processing claims, and as of noon today, 7,105 claims have been paid, and tonight another 3,000 more will have the funds sent out. And I would emphasize to everyone that if you have a claim pending and you received an email this morning, then you should go online and complete your weekly claim so your claim can be processed and the payment made. And that is pua.arkansas.gov. There will be 60 to 70 people working over the weekend on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to handle call center calls and to process claims. The best way, of course, is to do that online. But I'm grateful for all of those that have worked hard to get that money out, and I'm delighted that that money is being sent out really as we speak. In terms of the cases, yesterday we had 5,458 cases, with the highest increase in cases in one single day. Today we have an additional 154 cases. Of those, 135 are in the community. That brings the total today to 5,612 cases. In terms of hospitalizations, we have reduced the hospitalizations from 86 down to 81, so that's a reduction of 5. In terms of deaths, there's a plus 3, brings us to 113 deaths in Arkansas. And we'll go quickly through the slides. The first one is our usual slide on the number of new COVID cases in Arkansas, and you can see the very top high point yesterday with 450 plus new cases, and then you can see us today that has dropped significantly from that to the more expected level in light of the testing that is being done. The next slide will have the 7-day rolling average is the orange line. And you can see because of that huge spike, there was an upward tick there that will be leveling off. The next slide is the number of hospitalized. Again, you can see the trend line in which the second peak is not as high as the first peak, which is a good sign for us in terms of hospitalizations down below the 100 level. And then the next one is the number of active cases in Arkansas, those that have recovered. And we see that the active cases are a little over 1,400, which is the height. It's a new peak in terms of active cases that we have. And then the next slide is going to the subject of testing. And you can see that today we have tested, about 2,900, it looks like, in terms of testing. So the trend line, our testing is going very, very well, which you'll see, I think, in the next slide, which is the percent of positive tests by date of result. And here again, even though we're testing 2,900, our positivity rate for the last marking is below 5%, and we're consistently below the 10%, which is the national standard. So we're testing more, but our positivity rate is not going up. And you know that we set May as the goal that we would test 60,000 in Arkansas. Today, we're at 51,275, and we've got some days to go. So we're going to make our 60,000 goal for this month, and so our testing continues to increase. I want to brag on Dr. Smith and his contact tracing team. And we took a sample, I think it was a week ago, of like 64 cases, and we traced those down and we gave a report on those. And I was a little concerned because it took us a couple days to get the level of tracing that we needed to get done. Well, yesterday's number that was so high, a very high number of 450, I believe it was, Dr. Smith tells me that they have traced already 61% of that number from yesterday. This is great news as to the enhanced capability of contacting and tracing and knowing where these numbers are coming from. And that's another very important point, just anecdotally, based upon statistics. Washington County had the highest number of new cases with 32. And most of those 32 new cases came from three households, which shows you the quickness of spread in a household or in a community. Benton County had 22, but then skip on down to Paragould. Up in Greene County, you had 8 new cases from the same street. And so you don't know whether it's kids playing together or block party that they didn't do the social distancing, but 8 came from the same street. And so it's it reminds us that we have to continue to be careful, practice our social distancing, and even though we're testing a lot, our cases might go up, we can handle all of this if we are doing the right thing in avoiding the spread and protecting our families. With that, let me invite Dr. Smith to come and make his comments, and then we'll go from there. Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. As the Governor has pointed out, the numbers today are much less dramatic than yesterday. As the Governor has mentioned, we had 154 cases. 19 of them were from correctional facilities, 135 community. So our total is 5,612. Of those, 1,470 are active. Of those active cases, 86 are in nursing home, 510 are correctional facilities, and 874 are active cases in our communities. We have had 20 new cases in nursing homes. Most of those were in Union County, so our total is 350 there. We had 4 additional nursing home staff, so we're at 201 there. We have had 13 additional cases reported at the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, so our total there is 622. As the governor mentioned, we have a net decrease of 5 in the hospitalized cases, so we're at 81. We currently have 14 on a ventilator. That's no change from yesterday. And we've had 3 additional deaths, so we're at 113 deaths total. We have recovered 4,029. That's an increase of 114 from yesterday. The governor mentioned briefly our testing. I want to give a few more highlights to that. We had 2,909 tests yesterday with an overall positivity rate of 4.4%. Of those 29,008, 257 were from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, 223 from the UAMS lab. We have, since the beginning of this, we have now tested 102,041 individuals. In the month of May, we've tested 51,275. I wanted to briefly talk about the new cases that were reported today and the counties that they are coming from. The governor's mentioned that we had 32 from Washington County, and as he mentioned, they were more than half were from 3 households. We have had 22 in Benton County. We've had 19 from Pulaski County, 11 from Sevier County, 10 from Crittenden County, and 8 from Greene County. As the governor's mentioned, this neighborhood clustering in Paragould. All the other counties were 5 or less, 5 or fewer. I want to briefly talk about the cases from yesterday. We had, of the community cases, now the about half of those 455 from yesterday were from the FCI, so we consider those to be traced. But of the 224 community cases, and that's actually 2 less than I reported yesterday. One turned out to be out of state, and one on repeat testing was negative, so we consider that to be a false positive. Of those 224 community cases from yesterday, we have successfully contacted already 137, or 61%. Of those, 24% are known to be contacts of a previous case. Getting down into a little bit more detail, 37 of those 137 that we've contacted are connected with clusters at sites of employment, 4 different sites of employment. We looked specifically for some of these risk factors I've mentioned before, restaurants, gyms. Only 2 had reported having been at a restaurant during the period where they could have been infected. Only 2 of them have been to a gym or a fitness center. So far, we're not seeing any clusters related to these activities that we've newly opened up. The last thing I'd like to mention is that we are updating our directive for elective surgery. That will go into effect on Monday. And the highlights on that, now we've basically removed all the restrictions from ASA rating. That means even the sicker patients can have their elective surgery. We've removed the restriction on length of hospital stay. We do still require testing within now 72 hours, preferably within 48 hours, but 72 hours, and antigen testing where available can be used, but not antibody testing. We've exempted procedures that meet the following criteria, exempted them from the requirement for testing, pre-op testing, if they are performed outside a hospital setting and they have no commingling with inpatients and they do not involve penetration of a body cavity or joint space, then we do not require the pre-op testing. For example, an outpatient cataract surgical procedure in an office would not require testing before the procedure. And that directive will be posted if it's not already been. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Dr. Smith mentioned that the numbers were not as dramatic today, so I want to thank you for not giving us a day full of drama. As we go into the weekend, it's Memorial Weekend, and I ask Secretary Hurst to come and to talk about Memorial Weekend in terms of outside activities, which many Arkansans will be engaged in, and then Secretary Nate Todd will talk about it from the standpoint of our veterans and our veterans' home.
Thank you, Governor. With the Memorial Day holiday weekend upon us, I'd like to share some information on how Arkansans can enjoy one of the very best things about our state, and that is the abundant access we enjoy to nature and the outdoors. The Cedar Falls Overlook Trail at Pettigean State Park is reopened. The Delta Heritage Trail, which had suffered from fallen trees in the recent storm, is now fully cleared and reopened. That's along eastern Arkansas. All of the trails at Cane Creek State Park near Star City have been cleared of fallen trees as well and are now open. A reminder to our visitors that our uniformed state park staff will be monitoring and enforcing the safe physical distancing that is required. Recreating responsibly with leave no trace principles helps protect our beloved state parks. So I encourage you all to use your state parks, but to do so responsibly. Finally, if you're still looking for overnight opportunities, we still have a few lodge rooms available. So I encourage you to go to the Arkansas State Parks and take a look at that. During the national health emergency, we have been in close collaboration with our federal partners that own lands in Arkansas. And I'm pleased to share that the U.S. Forest Service has reopened Whitaker Point Trail and the Glory Hole Trail in the Ozark National Forest. Both of those are very popular trails. The Buffalo National River reopened Lost Valley Trail today. Again, another very popular location. Wolf Pen Gap within the Ouachita National Forest is also open. Officials with these federal agencies will be encouraging, like we do, everyone to be safe and responsible when using these popular trails, and please avoid congregating. I'd like to remind the public as well of our system of natural areas that exist in the state. The Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission owns a number of natural areas and manages these areas for public access. So if you're interested in going to one of these natural areas, you can go to naturalheritage.com. There's a list there. You can search by county. It will give you a map and point out where you can access the natural area. And this includes, for example, some of our most popular natural areas, for example, Rattlesnake Ridge, which is in western Pulaski County, the Kings River Falls, which is up in Madison County. So these are popular locations, but frequently aren't as crowded as our many state parks trails. Finally, one note with the rain that we've had and are supposed to have this weekend, I want to remind everyone to please be mindful of water levels and the potential for flooding. Please be safe and have a great holiday. Thank you, Governor.
Go ahead, Secretary.
Good afternoon, Governor, Dr. Smith, Secretary Hurst, and all of Arkansas. Governor, we did test our 90 residents in the North Little Rock Veterans Home, and I shared with Arkansas that they all came back negative. We will soon test those veterans in our Fayetteville Veterans Home. To those who have served and those currently serving in the Uniformed Services of the United States, we are forever mindful of their personal sacrifices. Of these, our sons and daughters. We are compelled to never forget while we enjoy our daily pleasures. This weekend and on Monday, our nation and our great state will pause to reflect and remember those that have served our nation. On Monday, the governor had purposely decided to pause to lay a wreath at the North Little Rock Veterans Cemetery, he and Major General Penn. Mr. Austin Booth, our Chief of Staff for the Arkansas Department of Veterans Affairs, an Afghanistan combat veteran of this generation and a Catholic high school graduate, will lay a wreath at the Arkansas Veterans Cemetery at Bird Eye at Cross County. Due to the COVID-19, we will Facebook Live these memorials, and they will not be open to the public. Families are welcome through this weekend and Monday to visit the gravesite of your loved one and remember their service to this great nation and state. Ensure we practice social distancing and follow the guidelines of CDC and the Arkansas Department of Health. On this Memorial Day 2020, we are thankful for those that have served our nation, and we will never forget their service. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Colonel Todd. With that, we'll take any questions.
Have you guys gone, has ADC gone through all the applications for the Ready for Business grants? I mean, or are they still going through trying to figure out, of all the people that applied, how many, do you have final numbers in terms of how many actually were verified and how much you expect to spend through the program? Or are you not there yet?
I got briefed on it right before I came in here. And the number that I mentioned is going out. There's another category in which there's having to do a second level of test. For example, it could be insufficient information was submitted, so they've got to get more information, or it could be wrong data that's in there. So they're working through some of those that were not clearly easy to approve at the first go-through. In the terms of the specific numbers, we'll be glad to get that from you for you from ADC and the Department of Commerce.
Can you kind of clarify? I guess I thought you got kind of tongue-tied when you're at the White House on no absentee voting. Are you getting ready to flip-flop?
Well, I'd rather get tongue-tied than flip-flop. So if you give me a choice. Now... in terms of what's your question, or did I already answer that?
We signed executive orders on no excuse absentee voting yesterday, but your response made it sound like you didn't know what you'd signed. You've repeatedly said that you're open to signing with no excuse absentee voting. Has your position changed? Because your explanations have given at least a couple people the idea you're getting ready to change your position.
No, I'm not changing the position. My position is the same. The challenge is that you're talking about the November election, and it is too early at this moment to make any exercise emergency powers for something in November. Now, we will get there, but we're not there yet. And so this is not on the front burner of my issues right now. I think we're going to need to wait a little bit longer to get a sense as to, one, whether we'll still be an emergency in November during the election, and then, secondly, how we should manage that. And so you're asking me questions about what happened in the special elections, and my position hadn't changed, but we just haven't had the necessity of articulating what we need to do in November, and we'll evaluate that.
Any reaction to some legislators being perturbed at the fact that both Secretary Preston and the head of the ABC didn't show up for that legislative meeting yesterday, and now they're talking about potentially issuing subpoenas for them to come?
Well, you know, we regret any inconvenience or misunderstanding, but in this instance, first of all, it was my call. And, you know, whether an agency director testifies or not, and we always believe and support the oversight role of the General Assembly, but in this instance, for the reasons that we recited yesterday, I directed that they not appear then because they're supposed to be appearing, or some of them appearing, our administration will be testifying on those issues next week before the ALC. And so I communicated the concerns about the hearings this week because they indicated an interest in having it before the full ALC. I spoke to the Speaker and I spoke to the Senate Pro Tem on that. And so we tried to communicate at the right level with the General Assembly, and we had our Department of Health officials there. And so obviously we testify and we're willing to, and we understand the role of the oversight. But yesterday I needed my administration officials from the Department of Commerce concentrating on getting this money out and the system working for PUA. That was a priority. We can talk about it next week in terms of reporting and asking questions about it, but we had to focus on all of our energies getting it out and getting the job done this week. And in terms of the ABC director, we put the Department of Health there to testify on that, and that's an appropriate area in which for them to ask questions. But the applicant Temple Live had the opportunity to appeal the decision both to the Department of Health, to the Board of Health, and to the ABC board. They did not take advantage of the opportunity to appeal, but we're happy to go and answer questions, but all of a sudden it looks like it's going to be in a confrontational mode, not necessarily confrontational, but it is in an arena in which all of that could have been done in a different arena, and it was not the right position for the ABC director to be in. And so for that reason, I directed that ABC director not appear and testify. Alex.
Dr. Smith, you mentioned 24 cases that are linked to a previous case. So my question is, did that original person not self-quarantine, or did they infect 24 people before they knew they were positive?
Actually, what I stated is that 24% of the 137, that's 53, we know were contacts to previous cases. And there can be a number of reasons for that. The most common is that someone has exposed others before they tested positive themselves. We will know more about those, but this is what we have in less than 24 hours.
Can you tell us what the four sites of employment were that you mentioned? That 37 people were tied to four sites.
Certainly. Nebo Poultry in Dardanelle, which we already knew about, Ozark Poultry in Rogers, St. Bernard's Medical Center, and Cargill in Springdale. Again, it was only a few cases in each, except for the Nebo Poultry. There were 21 cases there.
New cases at Nebo Poultry?
This is all from the cases that were reported yesterday.
Are those patients or?
I don't have information on that. These were employers, though, so I'm assuming that those may have been workers of some sort.
Yeah, St. Bernard.
Five.
Ozark would be?
Ozark was seven. Cargill was four. Four in Cargill.
All right, let's go remotely. Are there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to see, heading into holiday weekend, how big of a concern do you have about seeing numbers going up even more given the number of places that have opened up? And this is a question for you, but also for Dr. Smith. I guess, how actively is the state going to be watching some of these places, all these businesses and places that reopen, see that these guidelines or that these directives are being followed?
Well, in terms of this weekend, the more information Arkansans have, the better decisions they make. And I'm asking them to be careful and to socially distance and to have fun, enjoy the holiday. But at the same time, remember, there is a virus out there that we have to manage and avoid the spread. In terms of how we enforce, we're not a heavy police state. Rely upon complaints from citizens in which the Department of Health can send out their team to inspect and make contact with. Many times it's just simply a reminder to do the right thing. And Secretary Hurst talked about the park rangers. You know, they're there to enforce, but first of all, they're there to remind. And people get excited and they congregate, so sometimes they just need a reminder to separate. I am comforted by the numbers that we see today and the contact tracing that we're doing. And so when we're doing this level of testing, I'm not overly concerned about the number of cases versus simply knowing where they are and that our hospitalizations and our recovered cases and our testing and our positivity rate are going the right direction. Dr. Smith.
I think we have learned with this virus some of the things that are pretty effective at keeping people safe, and there are different levels of risk. Passing someone on a trail is much lower risk than, say, you know, being at a Memorial Day party where people are hugging and kissing each other and you know, sitting around in close proximity, no one wearing masks. So we know the individual behaviors that we can take to minimize our risk. This is a good example of what we're doing here. We have people spread out. We have many of us are wearing masks when we're not spread out. These are things that we can do to safely congregate, but there are many things that are increased risk, and this virus does tend to cluster in neighborhoods, in family settings, because that's when people are in close contact with each other, breathing the same air, and we know how to avoid those and take the measures to protect ourselves.
Alex.
Governor, President Trump is calling for churches to reopen. Do you think that's wise?
I haven't seen his specific comment, but I'm aware that he made remarks today about the churches. And, of course, in Arkansas, ever since, May 11th, I believe it was, that they were able to open and they're able to engage in worship services. We asked them to follow the guidelines that have been submitted in terms of worship services. Many of the churches still have not reconvened. They're being cautious until they get a better idea and comfort level in terms of reconvening their worship services. And so we're all anxious for that to happen again, but we leave that discretion to the pastors, to the worship leaders, to make those decisions that are good for the congregation. Yes?
At this point, where do you think phase two of reopening Arkansas will be? Is it looking like it will be closer to the fall at this point?
No, I certainly would not try to put it in the fall that far away. We hope to get there much sooner than that. We're anxious to get there. But obviously with the uptick that we've seen yesterday particularly, we're not thinking about phase two right now in the very short term. But we are always looking at it in that 14-day period because that's sort of the window that you want to see the right trend in either cases or positivity rate. And the positivity rate is probably what I look at the most. And that is such a steady number for us that as long as that's going in the right direction, then I think we can look at it down the road, but we're not quite there yet. And Dr. Smith, you probably ought to comment on that.
We're going to look at our overall trend for a period of 2 weeks. And, you know, so far we have one day of downward trend. You could say we've had the largest single daily drop in cases over the last 24 hours.
That's a good headline.
Is there a policy now for state employees? Are they required to wear masks in state buildings on the job?
It's the same as we have in the private sector employment. We want to follow the same guidelines. And so they're not required to wear a mask at their desk, but they are required to socially distance. And when you cannot do that, to wear a mask. And so that, in fact, we're engaged in making sure that masks are available to our employees as they return from any remote work. We do want them to follow those guidelines. Let's take another question remotely.
Hi, Governor.
Governor?
All right, I hear the lady first.
Hey, this is Paige Proisy with 4029. I was just curious what factors you're looking for that may foreshadow a second wave. I know yesterday you mentioned that you don't want to go back on the reopening phase that we've started. But what would you do in the event of a second wave?
Well, when we think about a second wave, we really think about next year and whether it comes back sometime during the school year or next winter, sometime before we get a vaccination. In terms of right now, you know, we are really in that first wave, and we had our measurements through our testing that showed one peak. And then we've dropped off of that, and then because of the increased testing, we're actually showing a second peak, which is, more I look at this, it seems like every state is different in their trend lines and what their graphs look like. So I still consider this the first phase that we're in, and if we have a resurgence, we want to make sure that we take the appropriate steps. But the biggest second wave, I think, we want to worry about and be prepared for is next year. Dr. Smith?
I agree. We haven't had a smooth up and down curve like the predictive models predicted. You know, we have had a lot of moving parts here, including the increased testing, and you know, some camels have one hump and some have two. So.
And the governor said you would be prepared to take those steps. What exactly would those steps be? Have you thought about that?
Well, I'm back here now. and, you know, in terms of the steps, it's all about the contact tracing. And it's about if we see that there is a breakout in a particular facility, we will look at what action needs to be taken there. If we see it in the prisons, we take action that's there. And so it depends upon what our contact tracing tells us to do. But we want to be in a position to manage our situation consistent with a growing economy. We want to educate. We want to have camp. We want to be able to do normal life and make a living, but we do it in a way that we keep an eye on the virus and we protect ourselves and protect others. That's our focus versus thinking about, you know, what are we going to close down next? That's not our mindset anymore. Our mindset is how can we be open and do business and be safe at the same time? Next, yes.
And I don't know if Dr. Smith needs to talk about this, but on the elective surgical procedures, in terms of the procedures that are exempt from testing, is that going to include surgical abortions?
From the criteria that it's set, that would not include, that would not exempt surgical abortions.
The SEC will allow voluntary workouts June 8th. What's your reaction, and how does that relate to the guidelines released yesterday?
They're going to allow, say it again.
Voluntary workouts, June 8th.
And who's going to allow that?
The SEC.
SEC, okay. It all depends on the circumstances, but I'm glad they're looking at how they can return sports next year. Under our guidelines, you know, teams are allowed to have training and individual practices based upon our guidelines for gyms and workouts. And so it sounds like the SEC is really moving in the same direction that we've set in our guidelines, and where teams, even in contact sports, can practice as long as they follow the guidelines, which does not include contact, but it includes having the social distancing and the working out.
Are you just deferring to the SEC in terms of college sports, or how does that relate to what the SEC does and what the state guidelines are?
As Dr. Smith indicated yesterday, the guidelines that we provided for team sports yesterday is not addressing intercollegiate athletics. And so we're going to be looking at that as we get closer in to late spring and summer. Is there one more question remotely? Oh, there was a gentleman,
yes,
actually.
Yes, Governor Craig Cannon, 4029.
Hey, Craig.
I just wanted to quickly ask, out of all the numbers that you give us every day and the trends that we're watching, and you say positivity is one very important number and trend that you look at, would you also say the level of hospitalization indicates the most serious cases for sure?
Yes, that is another key indicator. We've relied upon that really from the beginning because it shows the seriousness of the case. And so that's something that we watch very carefully, not just because it's a key indicator as to how the virus has spread in Arkansas, but it's also a key factor in determining to make sure that we have sufficient hospital space, ventilators to care for the patients. So it is a key indicator that we follow. Dr. Smith, do you want to comment on that?
I agree with that entirely. We've always looked at hospitalizations as a key indicator, as well as deaths. The only thing is that those are lagging indicators. They reflect cases that were acquired two or more weeks before. So we have to look at the whole package, but hospitalizations clearly are a more stable indicator because the case counts depend a lot on our testing.
Thank you.
All right, one more question from the table.
Is there some legislators that say they're having a hard time justifying the state of emergency in the state, considering relative to the population numbers, the number of active cases, the number of hospitalizations don't seem to be, at least on the surface, very alarming? I guess kind of how do you respond to some of that?
Well, that's certainly not what they were saying 2 months ago. I explained our position in a letter to the legislature that talked about the mandate from the General Assembly to the governor, giving authorities to manage pandemics just like this. And without the extraordinary powers that the General Assembly has given, then it would be really impossible to provide the public safety through Dr. Smith and his team at the Department of Health. And so whether it's a national emergency or a state emergency, these are powers that the Constitution and the General Assembly give. The letter that I gave the legislature, I think, explains that position. Thank you all very much today. And just for the future, we are, because it's a three-day weekend, we do plan on having a report tomorrow, not one on Sunday or on Memorial Day, where we'll be remembering those that have given their lives for our country. And so I hope that you all have a good weekend, and I hope it's so boring tomorrow that no one shows up.